First John, please, chapter 4. Gracious Heavenly Father, I am just truly grateful and thankful.
Oh, Father, I am truly grateful and thankful for your love and your goodness and your great grace and mercies. And thank you again for our Lord. How can we thank you enough for what he's done? And I pray for all of us here, my God. I thank you so much for those who shared the word today. I thank you so much for those who labored and helped and shopped and did everything, Father, so that your people could be blessed today. I'm so grateful, Father, to be surrounded by such loving and committed people. It's such a privilege. It's such an honor. It's one that none of us deserve, but you've allowed us to serve as a body. You've allowed us to serve you and one another. And that's huge. So I give you this afternoon. I give you this time that we are together, and I pray that it has been a glory and an honor to you. And I just want you to know how much I love you, Father. And I pray these things in the only name that's possible to come to your throne. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 10 it says, "Herein is love." This is what love is. This is what it's all about. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the payment for our sins. That is what love is. Not about us again. See, it's never about you. The Bible ain't about you. It's about what God wanted. And he invited us to be a part of what he wanted. He invited us to believe the gospel that we heard. And because he so desired to have a family, a wonderful family that would love him. And he desired to have children. And the only reason you have kids, you know, was you wanted somebody to love. You know, it changes over the years, but that's really what you wanted. You wanted a unit, a family to love. And that's what God wanted. And again, it's not about us. Not that we don't benefit. We do. Wholeheartedly with everything. But God loved us. He sent his son to be the payment for you and I. You want to get encouraged? You know? I mean, out of that verse, it says, "He shall strengthen thy heart." You know what gives me great courage and great strength when everything is going to hell? It's when I think about how much he loves me and how much he has done for all of us, but for me. I make it very personal. You know, I make it very personal. And if you don't make it personal, then this is just church. It's just a thing to do. You know, when I go home, I look at these promises in the book, and I make them personal. I remember praying as a young, much younger man, and I needed a whole bunch of money to go into the White Court training, and I had the two of us together. That's like twice as much. That's what you get when you get a wife. You get twice as the bills. Everything costs double. And I remember praying and praying and praying my soul out, you know, and I knew he wanted me to do this. I knew it I mean, this was impressed upon me, and there was no money, none. So I remember I took what little money I had, and I'm going to figure this out, right? So I know how to play the ponies. So I went to the track. And I'm telling you, I went to the track, and I'm praying, God, give me the number. Which one is this? Which horse is coming in? It was three of us. Tommy Whalen, Donald Lewis, and myself. Three Musketeers. All street urchins, all of us. Hard-working construction workers, street urchins, out of Queens. And we go to Yonkers, of all places, right? And every horse we bet on that day, everyone, and we prayed together, we got together, we prayed together. I mean, we're a spectacle at the track. Got our arms wrapped around one another, praying, Lord. Yeah, we weren't ashamed of our faith. We were just stupid. But every single horse we bet on came in second. Second. Like second best. If we would have had, bet on place, it would have came in third. It wasn't the way that God does things. But we were hustling the best we knew how to hustle. We were doing the best we knew how, as dumb as it was, we were doing the best we did. And God, I didn't have, between the three of us, we didn't have enough money to pay the toll on the Triborough Bridge. That's the name of the bridge, by the way. It's the Triborough Bridge that my great uncle was up there building. And the toll was 50 cents back then. We couldn't come up. I was looking under the seats in the car. That's how bad that day was. Yeah. And yet, I still got there. There was a number of other incidents I won't bother you with. They were just as funny. But the Lord provided. In fact, I was praying in my kitchen in Rosedale, and I was praying and just really almost weeping in my heart, saying, you know, I know you want, this is what you want. I don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to do this, God. You know, you got to help me, you got to show me, you got to do it. And he told me to turn. It's the first time and one almost the last time he told me to turn to a scripture. And he told me to turn to Psalm 28. In verse 6. And it says, blessed be Yahweh, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. He heard my specific request, my prayer. And then I cut it loose. All right. Prayed, you've heard it, then it's like these men taught today. Patiently wait. And God provided. Again, I was stupid as a young Christian. Nothing wrong with being stupid as long as you learn. But God so loved that even stupid people, he guides, he helps. He teaches. He allows you to fail. But he never allows you to get. He doesn't throw you to the place where you just despair. You just keep on keeping on. And his love will encourage you and strengthen you and help you if you never forget it. The reason I went to fellowship was because I was loved by the people that were there. I went, give me water. I went to make sure my mother wasn't getting involved in some stupid thing. I wasn't going because I was interested. And then those bunch of folks there, very poor, thank you, sweetheart. By the way, Mary Dillo, so much work. Those people love me. And I thought to myself, even if they're nuts, these are the nicest people to be around. And then I just kept going back because I was loved, and what they were sharing was a little bit fantastic. But I've never met such nice people. Let's never lose that, folks. No, let's never forget how much you've been loved. And you share that love with others. Let's never forget how much you've been forgiven for, of the sins that you've committed in your life, and yet you can be forgiven. Give what he has given to you. And never forget what the gospel is about. It's not about every little detail in the Bible and every little thing that fancies your intellect. It's about God so loved the world that he gave his son. And this son, the seed of David, died on the cross to pay for the price of all mankind's sins. And then God raised him from the dead. That's what we want to share with people, first and foremost. But I'm getting away from what I wanted to share with you. See, your Father wants you. He has desired you. I don't know how many of you feel like that. I know that I don't, most often. I feel the opposite way. You know, like I'm always pleading, forgive me, Lord, help me. I'm dumb, I'm crazy, I'm strange. I haven't done as much work as I'm supposed to do. I haven't been as faithful as I could have been. I mean, that's the way I think. But God wants us. And just like I was when I was a stupid kid. And I'm not taking away the miracles that I saw then, because he did miracles for a stupid kid. He's still doing those miracles for an old stupid guy. I've grown, but compared to where we will one day be, right now we all see through a glass darkly. Smart as we think we are, it's not even close to daylight. We see through a glass darkly, but then when our Lord comes back, we will be known even as we are known of him. You know, that is remarkable. He knows every hair on your head. In Luke 12, it says, Jesus Christ, aren't two birds, two sparrows bought for a farthing or a couple of farthings? You know, God knows when every one of them fall. This is the immensity of the Almighty. You go up to the moon, take a picture of the earth, and it's just this blue ball, right? You go out past someplace else like Pluto, you can't even see it. And yet God knows when every sparrow falls. He knows when every hair on your head. He is so intimately involved with you, that he sees every single hair on your head. He pays more attention to you than your mother ever did. And mom used to pay a lot of attention to him. He loves you. That's what strengthens me. That's what encourages me. That no matter how dark a day gets, I know that he loves. You know, when Christine, I thought she was going to pass and go, I knew that God loved her more than I did. When Michael got hurt, I knew that God loved him more than I did. Those were dark, dark, dark days. And who the hell knows what kind of darkness will come again? But I know this, no matter what comes down, I know God loves me, my loved ones, every single soul on this earth, even his worst enemies, because he gave his son for us all. Go to Psalm 23. He paints a picture of how much he loves his people. So Yahweh is my shepherd. My shepherd. The one that guides, watches over me, provides, takes care of, protects, waters, feeds, tens. And if he's my shepherd and you keep that in your soul, then I shall not want. I don't have a need, because God is my shepherd. Yahweh is that shepherd. He is the one who watches us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He loves you. He's involved with you. How much are you involved with him? He'll listen to a dumb kid yell, "Help me, I don't know who you are," when I was on the 59th Street Bridge one day. And then he has my brothers already prepared and going to talk to me about God. My mother is already, because my brother wasn't going to cut it. My mother made a difference. But I was the one that yelled out before they talked to me. And I was his enemy. I was his enemy. In fact, when my brother witnessed the word to me, I beat him up. And I left him several times. He had the courage to come and try to talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ several times. And I beat him. My mother I didn't beat. I was his enemy. I didn't know who he was. But he led me besides the still waters. He restored my soul. He did. And he has. And he's never let me down, because I take courage in him. And not because I'm a good or better man than anybody else. I'm just a sinner. I just know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I needed a Savior. And I know that I can't go through this life without my Father's guidance and help. It says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You're going to walk through hell, and you may. You don't have to fear. You don't have to bind up and freak out. You might as well figure out it's coming. Be prepared for it in your heart and in your mind. You don't have to fear any evil, for thou art with me. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, folks. Never will. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the shepherd used those sticks to beat off the wolves and stuff. They also used it to smack the sheep into in line. Get over there. That's a great comfort. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup is running over with blessings. He prepares a table. You know, Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant is what we're, this is our promise. Abraham, many nations, right, would be blessed. Well, you are those many nations. I mean, just look at what tribe are you all a part of? I only got one that's a certified 100%. So even got tested, figured it out. It's funny. I was hoping she'd be a little Puerto Rican just so I could... But you think about it. Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, God said, all these nations will be blessed, right? He'd be the father of many nations. And what did God promise Abraham? I will bless thee. And if a man curse thee, I'll take care of it. Your enemies... curse, I'll bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. I believe that that promise belongs to you, the children of Abraham. He'll make a table for you. Life's going rough. It's all right, just stay faithful, stand fast. It'll all come out in the wash. That's the way I say it. It'll all come out in the wash, and you will come out as a great example of God's love and blessings. And your enemies will see it. And if they don't see it in this life, I guarantee you they will see it in the next. Because when they get up, if they're not already up with you, if they are, it's okay. All's forgiven if they're in the first resurrection. But if they're in the second, you're going to be around watching them getting judged. You'll be eating at Abraham's table and they won't. God wants you there. He'll do whatever it takes to help you get there. He will bless you. He will watch over you. He will protect you. He will do everything that his word says he will do. As I said before, you got a need? Take the promise that's in the scripture, because it is written that he will bring it to pass. Just like every time Jesus was tempted, Jesus says, it is written. And he applied the truth that was necessary to stand against the temptation. You can also apply the truth to meet the need that God has promised his children in Scripture. He wants you to have it. Don't get discouraged. You know, I prayed for a wonderful man to marry my daughter in the delivery room the day she was born. It took a while, but he showed up. Actually, I prayed for him many, many years. Prayed for a wonderful woman for my son. They showed up. Let's pray. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Don't you want to be able to say that? Don't you want to be able to say that and really believe it in your soul? Why not? What's preventing you from saying that? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He said it. I know people read this at funerals, but this ain't no funeral thing. This is for you. This is your relationship with your Father. This is what He wants. Can you and I screw our heads down to just not be distracted from what God says He wants and wills? I believe. Remember the compassion that Jesus showed to that blind man? And he stuck his fingers in his eyes with the clay, sent them off to wash in the pool of Siloam. Then they came back. Who healed you? Who did this? Who did that? Remember, they threw him out of the synagogue. They accused his mom and dad. Dark day. Jesus found him. And then the guy says, yeah, I believe you're the Messiah. I believe. The greatest day of his life. Don't let anything talk you out of what God has promised you. Don't let anything. He loves you. He loves you and He cares for you. Go to Isaiah for a second. You know, Isaiah 54. I think I've shared this with you, and maybe you've heard it firsthand from my son when he shared. You know, when Mike got injured, here he is, young man. He's in the hospital, been there for a long time. I was there that day. And the surgeon came in. This is just as they're going to dismiss him out of the place. And the surgeon, Mankin was his name. I'll never forget him. And he took a Bible out of his pocket, and he asked my son, he said, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, sir, I do. That was Mike's answer. And then he said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he prayed for him. And this was the head surgeon of the Phoenix Hospital, St. Joseph, I think it was. And, you know, Mike had a bunch of questions for him and stuff like that. And he says, don't believe what they tell you. He says, just don't believe what they tell you. Because he had three surgeons, four. And all the other three out of the four, Mankin was the guy over the top of everybody. The three had said, you're never going to do the things you used to do again. You know, you're not going to have a normal life. And they wanted to cut his feet off, but, you know, they wanted to do a lot of things. This surgeon came in, said, don't believe. And he says, this is what I want to say to you. And he read Isaiah 54:17. And remember, this is a young warrior laying in the bed. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yahweh. And he gave that word to Mike. And that word that he ministered to him was the word that he kept in his soul and in his heart. That's what Mike chose to believe. And other things that he had learned from us and so forth. But this came from the surgeon. And Mike had long recovery. and terrible consequences to being on medication. Yeah, he was hooked on all those pain pills. But he's rustling cattle and riding horses. He's doing the things that they told him he'd never do. He ran with his little girl. He don't run well, but he ran with his little girl, another thing they told him he'd never do. You can either believe the lies that are in this world, or you can believe your father. You can hold on to the truth, or you can get antsy and not want to wait on the Lord. It's up to you. God is pulling for you. He wants you healed. He wants you blessed. He wants you loved. He wants you to know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. He wants you, and he wants your loved ones whole. He wants that wholeness for us. Now, why does one person get the blessing and another person don't? I can't answer that. I don't know. I do know that all of us come to an end sooner or later. There's nobody getting out of this thing called life alive. But you're supposed to enjoy every single day. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. You follow me? Don't let it go. Fight for it. Keep it. Keep it. See, I just want to love you, because I don't know what else to do. I want you to feel his love. Just like that kid that Jesus healed his eyes. He says, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he?" He says, "It's he that's talking to you." The man that healed him, he didn't know what Jesus' face looked like, but Jesus found him after they just berated him. The Lord found him, went out of his way to find a man that he had already healed just to love him. And that same kind of love he wants for you. He will find you in your darkest place if you'll let him. And then you have to choose to say, "I believe." Like John was talking about. You got to be patient. And then you got to hold on to it. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come before you and we just adore you. We adore you for what you've done. You are our shepherd. You are our redeemer. You were the one who sent your son. It was the arm of the Lord. And you saved us all. We love you. We praise you. We are so grateful for what you've done. Help us to accept those beautiful promises that you have given to us in the Word. Help us to remember the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that each and every one of us has seen. Help us to be grateful, my God. Super, super grateful. And live in the joy of the Lord. So I praise you, I love you, I'm so grateful and so thankful for what you've done. And I ask you, Father, that you would take care of each and every one of these wonderful children of yours. I ask you to heal their bodies, my Lord. I ask you to give their minds peace. I ask you right now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would work in each and every heart, that you would let them know individually, my God, how much they are loved, and that they can take great courage and have great joy in that knowledge, my Father. So no matter where we are at, my Lord, we know that you're there. And we praise you. And I thank you for this wonderful day that we've had. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I love you all very much. I'm very grateful and thankful. God bless. Have a great day. See you soon.